Wednesday the 13th of January, Kof Zayin Teves, Rabbi Yechiel Levenberg, How to Treat a Guest.
The topic today is how to treat a guest, but in actual fact it's not so much in the Kotim of Hilchus Achnosas Orchim, it's a totally different subject. Let me explain. We often have differences between us as to what is permissible and what isn't. What we allow and what we don't allow. What we eat and what we don't eat. Which hechsherim we use and which hechsherim we don't use. And these variances and these differences are important when we get a visitor. I feel that this hechsher is reliable, and I might use it. I might have a very illustrious visitor from Israel, and he's of the Briska persuasion, and he has different chumras. And different things that, and my attitude might be, well, what he doesn't know won't hurt him. And we serve him, we look after him nicely, and he doesn't know what he's getting. But had he known, he wouldn't eat there. So, what is the actual halacha as to what I'm allowed to give him, and even if I know that he himself wouldn't have approved. If I give him a list of all the ingredients and all the hechsherim and all the things that I might use, and if he were to object, so am I allowed to give it to him without him knowing? That's the question that we're trying to address today. There's also vice versa, the other way around. And that is, often, and the most common example is on Purim. Everyone gets lots of shalachmanes, and I've got to send lots of shalachmanes. So I open up the parcel of shalachmanes, and I find, oh, this, I don't use this stuff. Yeah, I'll give it to Yankov, he eats it. Right? So, and we recycle it, and send it to the, now, something that I know that I wouldn't eat, is that really reliable? It's probably kosher, I wouldn't say it's trade, but you know, borderline. I wouldn't really eat it.
Borderline.
Very borderline taste. And can I send it to someone else who I do know eats it? He's not so fussy. What?
Now, by the time you've made a box of chocolates in the air, he
carries it in. Where was it?
Different discussion, don't you?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm carrying.
Don't carry on. Right. Let's address this. These modern, common, very common shyness. Let's see where the sources for these are. The first thing is, let's first see the Talmudic sources. There's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yud Lamed Beis. And the Gemara says like this. Itma. Noi sukkah hamuflogin mimeno dalet tvochim. Strange where the origins of sources are sometimes are. We have a case. A gentleman built a sukkah. And to adorn the sukkah, the schach wasn't very good looking. And in order to make it more attractive, he put up a noi sukkah. And it's more oriental sukkahs. You find that they hang up rugs. So he hung a rug under the schach. So you shouldn't have to look at the schach. When I look up, I don't want to see the schach. So he put a rug there. And if it's more than four tfachim away from the schach, if it's next to the schach, then it's all right. But if it's more than four tvachim away, there's an argument. Rav Nachman Omak Sheira. Rav Nachman says it's kosher. It doesn't matter if it's four tvachim away; it's fine. Rav Chizda v'Rabba Bar Avuna Amri Psula. He said it's possible. So Rashi says, Noi suka sadinim haprusim tachas chach lanoi. He had a rug, and it was hung under the schach for beauty. Psula, my apostle, mishum oil mafsik. Because since you have four tvachim, I have a schach, and below that, four tvachim below that, I've got another surface. So it's as if there's a separate oil. There's one over there between the schach and the rug, and then between the rug and the person. So Rashi says that's considered a separate oil, and it's maftit. Vishtakach loigoni besukkah. So it's not really considered in the sukkah. He's under the rug. He's not under the original schach. So that's the reason for the mandama, that's the two mandamim who say that it's possible. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, says, Kivan de l'noi suka yahavinu, things that was put there for the beauty, botla legava, so it's part of the schach, it's made, it's part of the sukkah. So don't say it. There's one entity between the schach and the rug, and a second one between the rug and where he's sitting, so he's sitting under the rug, and therefore he's not under the sukkah, therefore it's possible now. It's all for the beauty of the sukkah, so it's bottled to the sukkah, and it's all one sukkah. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, fine, sukkah's kosher. Now we come to the part that's relevant to us. It was actually a story. Let's go with the Girsa in our Gemara. Rav Nachman Omar, so Gemara says like this. Rav Chizda v'Rabba Bar Avuna, iklo lebei reish galusa. Rav Chizda and Rabba Bar Avuna. Now let's just remember the names of the machlokes. We have the case of the Noi Sukkah that's more than four tvachim away. Rav Nachman said it was kosher, and Rav Chizda and Rabba Bar Avuna said it was possible. Right? So you have to remember the names. These same Rav Chizda and Rabba Bar Avuna, Iklo lebei reish galusa. They came to the reish galusa on Sukkos. Aginu Rav Nachman besukkah shenoyeh muflogim mimena dalitvach. Very strange coincidence. Rabba Bar Avuna and Rav Chizda, the two gentlemen who said it was possible, so happened to have been came to visit the Reish Galusa on Sukkos. Right? Rav Nachman was in charge of the sleeping arrangements. And Rav Nachman then put him in a sukkah where the schach was, the Noi sukkah were more than four tvachim, which they would have puzzled. And Rav Nachman, the Shitosa, says it's fine. So he put him into a sukkah, which according to him was kosher, according to them it wasn't. Ishtiku v'loi omulei v'loi midi. They didn't complain. He told them, this is your sleeping arrangement, here's the sukkah where you're sleeping. They went to sleep, and they didn't complain. Now Rav Nachman was perplexed. Why aren't they complaining? They should have said, listen here, you put us in a possible sukkah. Because according to us, we'd say the sukkah is possible. Why don't you say anything? Amalei, hodabahu, rabbonan mishmatzayu. Did you change your mind? Did you finally see the light and come to agree with me that it's kosher the sukkah? Because I see the, don't hear a murmur from you. Amalei anan shluchei mitzvah anan. Upturim in asukkah. We don't really need a sukkah. We're here on the mission of being in the mitzvah. And therefore we don't need a sukkah. We really hold the sukkah as possible. So we could have slept in the house as well. It doesn't really matter because we're shluchim mitzvah. Strange story. That's what the Gemara says. Let's see Rashi and then it'll become a bit clearer. So Rashi says... Rav Nachman, now how come Rav Nachman was the one to decide? They came to the Reish Galusa. Why was Rav Nachman the one to tell them where to sleep? So Rashi explains. Av Bezdin Hoy, it's interesting what duties the Av Bezdin should have. So that he was the Av Bezdin, the Nogidu Metzavas, he was the chief bottle washer, and he said, who sleeps where and what to do, etc. The base Reish Galusa, the Oysen Alpiv. He was in charge, everyone listened. So since Rav Nachman was the Abbezdin, the Abbezdin decided who got the sleeping arrangements of all the visitors, and he told them which look to sleep. So they said, Shluchei Mitzvana, Lahatbil Pnei Reish HaGoyla. What mitzvah were they doing? So Rashi says, they came as a delegation or whatever to be mekabel ponim, the Rosh Galusa, on Yom Tov. Why? The Chayiv Odom Lahakbel Pnei Rabbi Bereno. Because the person is the Chayiv to go see his Rabbi Bereno, Patrinan. And therefore we're potter from Sukkah. We're here on a mitzvah mission. We're here to be mekabel ponim the Reish Galusa. We don't really need a sukkah. We really hold the sukkah as possible, but we didn't complain because we didn't feel we needed a sukkah.
Not Marasayim.
What? Marasayim for?
People will see that they sit in the sukkah and sing his kushim.
That's a good question. I don't know if other people would know. That's something to think about, yes. That's a fair question. So why is the Shliach Mitzvah? So Rashi says Yipotah, because the Mishnah says later Davchofei Shluchei Mitzvah Durim in Asukah. We have a Gemara. Now let's just analyze the question and see how it's relevant to what we asked. We have here the host here was Rav Nachman. He held the Sukkah was kosher. He thought that there were chayiv b'sukkah. He felt there was no problem with this sukkah. And he therefore told them to sleep there. They, on the other hand, they held it was possible. But they really knew that they didn't need a sukkah, so they didn't.
He didn't know why they were there?
Oh?
He didn't know why they came to
the house. He had known why they were there. Or else he didn't really need to give him a sukkah at all. He could let him sleep in the house. So therefore, it comes out from this Gemara that prior to him knowing that they're potter from sukkah, right? He didn't know if they changed their mind. He didn't know that they were shlichei mitzvah. He thought that they were chayiv b'sukkah. He felt that the sukkah was kosher, because he has no problems with if there's a difference in where the sukkah is. He therefore told them to sleep in the sukkah, which he felt was kosher, and they didn't. So you see that you're allowed to. If I feel it's all right, I don't have to worry about what he feels or what he holds. I do what I feel is right. I told them to sleep in the sukkah. For me, it's fine. And therefore, it's fine for them as well. That is what we see from this Gemara.
Are they also eating outside the sukkah as well?
But they ate in that sukkah.
They ate in the sukkah.
The actual case here was they slept, but obviously they probably ate there as well. The sleeping and eating is the same. So we see from this Gemara that if I feel something's all right, I can basically tell someone else, even though he doesn't agree with it. I don't have to make any notes about it, and I can just let him do it. Fine. There is a different Gemara, And this Gemara is in Chulin Daf Kufi Aleph Amud Beis. And let me just run through the Gemara. And the case is like this. In halachic terms, it's known as Nat Banat. Now, Nat Banat means nois and tam bar nois and tam. Now, let me give you the example in the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Dogim sha'olu bekora. I had fish, which Rashi says was grilled fish. And they were grilled in a fleshika kora. It was meaty. And it was grilled in the meaty department. And Rav says, also la oichlam bekuta. Since it was grilled in a fleshika pot, in a fleshika tray, whatever, kora, plate of some kind. So therefore, it absorbed some of the meaty contents in that kora, therefore went into the fish, therefore that fish becomes fleshiks, therefore I can't eat the fish with a cheese sauce, kota. So cheese sauce. It's meaty fish, I can't eat it with cheese. That's what Rav says. Shmuel says it's mutter. Shmuel allows it. Rav says that it's also. So Shmuel says, I'll tell you why Rav says it's also. Nice and tamhu. It absorbed from the plate that it was grilled on. The meat got into the fish. Once the fish becomes meaty, I can't eat it with the cheese sauce. Shmuel says, no, it's mutter. Nice and tamba, nice and tamhu. It's too far-fetched to say that it's not permitted. Why? Because it's got to go, there's something absorbed in the plate, so it's got to go from the plate into the fish. Now, I'm eating the fish with a cheese sauce, so it's got to go from our fish into the cheese sauce, and then combine with the cheese. That's already too far. Nice and tam by nice and tam, it's too far away, and it's allowed. That's what Shmuel says. I want to make it short. I'll leave out part of the Gemara. First the Gemara says, Rav, Leib Eferishet HaMachlolim. How do we know what Rav says? First, the Gemara says a story. What happened? Rav, Ikla lebei Rav Simi Bachia Bar Grei. Rav came, this happened to be in Rav Simi Bar Grei. Rosh Be'enav came to his grandchild's house. He had an eye. He had trouble with his eyes. Ovidle Shaifa Betzia. So his eye was hurting him. So they made a concoction of some kind to cream for the eye, and they took a saucer, and they mixed a few ingredients, and they made something for the eye, a soothing ointment for the eye. Later they served the meal, and they used the same plate which they used to mix the eye ointment. So he said, oh, I can taste the eye ointment in this food. You know, because it got into the plate, and then when he served the meal on the plate had some taste, the residue, from the eye ointment. So he said, oh, Yoev, Taima, Kula, Hai. So Rav said, I didn't realize that taste can go so far. Before we used this plate for ayur, but now that I'm eating, it's going to come out of the plate, and I can still taste the ayur ointment. So the Gemara says, it's not a good proof that what So Rav said, I've got to worry about tam, and therefore, whenever the nat banat is also us. So the Gemara says, it's not a good proof that that's for Rav. Because eye ointment is a very strong potion, And therefore, the taste carries, but doesn't mean by normal food, which isn't so potent and so strong, maybe it's not, doesn't actually carry so far, so you have no proof that Rabbas is not Banat, maybe only by the ointment, which was so strong, Rashi says, that it's so bitter, therefore the taste, you can always taste it if you use the plate again. But normally maybe it doesn't be, so therefore wouldn't be a Rai what Rav said, fine. But the Gemara says that Rabbi Leza, another story. Rabbi Leza have a coin kamei the marshal. He was serving. He was the waiter, Rashi says. I see the kamei dogin shoch olu bekara, the ka'ochel bekuta. They brought fish, which they was, it was grilled on fleshic dishes, and he ate it. They actually served fish that was grilled on fleshic in a fleshic pot, a fleshic dish, and they were actually eating it with cheese sauce. Yoev le veloy ochel. So he wouldn't eat it because he felt it was awesome, right? And Mashmuel felt that I don't eat not banat. I don't eat fish that's been grilled flesh and then served with cheese. He wouldn't eat. So no, thank you. Amalei, he said to him, L'rab cho yehivi le v'ochel. Why are you making yourself so holy and not eat it? Why don't you eat it? I gave it to your rabbi, and he ate it. The Apple Achlus, and you wouldn't eat it. Why are you holier than the Pope? What's going on here? So he said, who was his rabbi? His rabbi was Rav. And Rav is the one who says it's always awesome. So if Rav says it's awesome, so... And he was the one who was also, and Rav himself ate it. So the reason why you're not eating it is because your rabbi said it's also. Your rabbi ate it himself. So what's your problem? So he was in a bit of a dilemma. He always knew his rabbi asked it. Here this gentleman is telling him that he served the rabbi and the rabbi ate it. What's going on here? So he went back to his rabbi, to Rav, and he wanted to clarify the situation. Also, the kamei de Rav, Amalei hoda beiman ishmaitza. Did you change your mind? Do you now hold its mutter? Do you now agree with Shmuel? So Rav said, now listen here, Amalei, chasle lezara da abba ba'abba. The abba ba'abba is the father of Shmuel. And he says, Chas v'sholem, that Shmuel, the lisvili midi, the loisvili. Chas v'sholem, that he served me something. If I ever ate it, I didn't know about it. And I don't believe for 1 minute that Shmuel would have served it to me because he held it as mutter. And I, Rav, he knows us as it. So how can he do this to me? How can he give me something? The Lila Spirla, he knows I wouldn't allow to be eat it. So how did he give it to me? How's it possible such a thing happened? Therefore, it couldn't have happened, and I'm sure Shmuel would have never done something like that. And therefore, I still hold its osa. I don't believe I ever ate it, because I don't believe Shmuel would have done it to me, and therefore I don't know what this guy is telling you, and Rashi therefore says, Lehoyu Dvorim Ma'olam, it obviously never happened. He had you on. He wanted you to eat, he said you were hungry, he wanted you to eat, he held it was mutter, he tried to coax you into eating it, he made up the story. Rashi says, it never really happened that Shmuel served it. One thing we see clearly, Rav is saying, Shmuel wouldn't have done it to him. It wouldn't have been allowed. If he knew I would answer it, the fact that he's matter it is irrelevant. It couldn't have been possible that he gave it. So we have, on one hand, the Gemara in Sukkah, that Rav Nachman told them to sleep in the sukkah, even though, according to them, it was possible. On the other hand, we have Rav screaming and saying that Shmuel would have never done something like that to me, because how could he possibly do that to me when he knows I hold its osses? You see, you don't give a guest something that he holds is not right, even though I feel that it is all right. How do we reconcile these two? The Ritzvon Sukkah talks about it, and he says like this. And Rav Chisda v'Rabba bar Rav Huna eklod beresh galusa ginubis. He had different gifts in the Gemara. There's a few minor changes. We haven't got time to go into it, but let me just tell you what he says. Afal gav dakati lo yoda the hadru mishmait. He didn't know if they did change their mind. They didn't change their mind, or he didn't know they were shluch. A mitzvah aginu lefum daite. He, since Rav Nachman himself held it was all right, he told him to sleep in that sukkah. He wasn't worried that he himself, these fellows who are sleeping there, don't really agree that the sukkah is kosher. The yasti the sukkah psula. Therefore, according to the people who are now sleeping in the sukkah, they're sleeping in a posula sukkah. And not only are they sleeping in a posula sukkah, they think they're in a kosher sukkah, and therefore they'll make a brothel of atola. Someone sits in a posula sukkah and says a shakit shon, and says someone leisha basukkah, and they look up yaloch, it's a posula sukkah. It's a brothel of atola. V'havik a noisei miksha lifnei pikeach. It's like tripping someone up. If I give someone something to eat and it's not kosher, I'm over lifnaiva. So here also, I put him in a posla sukkah and he thinks it's kosher. He's going to make a brothel of atala. He's going to end up not staying in the sukkah. What's going on? Yesh Oimrim says the Ritva Mahoshaminam. From here we hear. Shamachel lechaveirai mashu mutalai lefidaitai. Ein bazem mishim lifnaiva lefidaitai mishim. As long as I'm convinced that I know that it's kosher, I don't have to worry about what the other guy's opinion is. I'm not over with Naiva, because I know it's all right. I could give it to him. Even though I know that the other guy holds it's also the chaveira balayroa, and he's a responsible person, he's a balayroa. Shamach loyagam ken royalayroa. I'm also a rabbi. He's a rabbi. I hold its mutter. I can give it to him. Soymach al daitai lahachil la'atzmai ulacherim lefi daitai. V'nirali, says the Ritva, he adds a writer. The hocha dafta mepnei she'isa nika lechaveire. V'yiloi sviri le'loilech. So what Ritva is saying is like this. If I hold something's mutter, I'm allowed to give it to him, because it's mutter for everyone. And the other guy feels that it's also, so that's for him to decide. Says the Ritva, that's only if it's visible. It's only if it's clear to him. The sukkah, you can see where the roof is, you can see where the noise sukkah is, you can see where the rug's hanging, you can see there's a gap before Tvachim. So if he doesn't want to sit there, that's up to him. So therefore, where was that? So therefore, if it's visible, then you're allowed to do it. If it's not visible, if you can't tell, then I can't say, well, I'm allowed to give it to him, and he should make the decision. He doesn't know the facts. He can't see it. So here, since it's visible, therefore he's allowed to do it. Therefore, Rav Nachman can say, here's the sukkah, you go to sleep there, they hold it possible, so don't sleep there. It's up to you to make a decision, and it's fine. He says, however, what if it's not visible? Then, you can't do that, because the other guy can't make a decision. And therefore, since he holds it also, you have no right to give it. And he says, I'll tell you what the proof is. The Gemara Chulin. Dog, inshallah, Bakoro, where I have the fish.
Right.
Which, so he doesn't know what plates and what if it was cooked fleshit, if it wasn't cooked fleshit, he gets a piece of fish and it has a nice cheese sauce on top, and he gets it. He doesn't know how it was cooked. Therefore, Rav said, chasle the zarabara, because if it's not visible, then you're not allowed to serve it. So basically, what the Ritva says is if it's visible, then you're allowed to give it to him. Because then the person who receives it could make his own decision. So let's say I have a packet of biscuits with a doubtful heksher. I give it to the guy. He can see the heksher the same as I can see the heksher. If he doesn't want to eat it, he won't eat it. If he does want to eat it, that's up to him. So therefore, there is no problem. You can give him whatever you want. Right? But if it's not visible, it's a home-baked cake, and you use so many, such ingredients that he wouldn't have used, there's no way he can make the decision if he wants to use it. But he's relying on me. Therefore, if I know he doesn't eat whatever hechsher it is, and therefore I put those ingredients in the cake, and I send him the cake, then that wouldn't be allowed. And this is brought to the halacha. We haven't got time now for it. In Piradeya, the Ramah and Simon Kufi tests Siv Zayin, and the Ramah there brings this halacha. If it's visible, then you could send it. But if it's not visible, you can't. There's a long shach there which discusses. I must just want to finish with vice versa. What happens in a case where if I get a shalach mamas, it has in the things that I don't eat it, but I know he eats it. Can I send it on to someone else who does eat it? There's a tshuva ksav sefer, where the ksav sefer says clearly that if I know this person eats it, even though our machmen, I don't use that lecture, since he eats it, I can always pass it on to him.
Very good. Thank you.